Welcome to USAWSB's Teaching Tuesday podcast, your place for best practices in entrepreneurship education.
Today in the USAWSB Teaching Tuesdays podcast, we're joined by Jeff Stamp, and we're going to talk a bit about creativity and a creative in-class challenge. Jeff, it's nice to have you here with us. Why don't you tell us a bit about your background in entrepreneurship education?
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having me today. You know, it's really kind of interesting because I was actually in corporate life being an entrepreneur in a corporate setting, part of an innovation team. And I had an opportunity to meet Dr. Mike Morris, who was teaching at the time at Miami of Ohio, University of Miami of Ohio, because I lived in Cincinnati. And he said, hey, I read your book on creativity, and I was wondering if you'd like to, you know, jump in the classroom. And I went, gosh, what a cool thing to consider. And, you know, that was 1999. So 20 years ago, I started this journey of just getting back in the classroom, and it's been a blast ever since.
And what's your approach to teaching entrepreneurial creativity?
Sorry, the question got garbled up. I didn't come through. Sorry.
Sure. So your core focus in the classroom is on creativity, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. That and corporate, I teach both corporate entrepreneurship, rural entrepreneurship, which is a very interesting subsegment, but also the process of how to harness your creativity and apply it. So it's applied creativity.
So what is your approach to teaching creativity?
Well, there's always a lot of directions that one can take in creativity that can pass everything from the personality types of the creative type. What's it like to live a creative lifestyle, to have sort of a creative personality? Or there's also the construct of the psychology of creativity and the cognitional approaches to creativity. What I like to do is to take some of those elements, but I want to have the students experience creativity. So I approach creativity from an experiential effectuation point of view, where they have to actually engage in a process to understand how they process input and other parts of the entrepreneurial thinking process.
Can engaging them in that process be difficult? And if so, how do you overcome that?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I think And it's not a hit on the way education is approached. It's just that a majority of educational approaches is, here's content, here's how you absorb it, understand it, and frame it, and then here's how you repeat it, retrieve it, and utilize it. With creativity, what we're trying to do is to not so much rely on just memorization or where information lies that you can apply to a problem, but how to break down the problem to see where there are novel solutions or novel combinations of resources that can actually solve a problem in a new and different way, but still have utility for a customer. So we approach creativity more from a, how do you look at it as a resource process, as opposed to simply, what does it feel like to be in a creative element or a creative moment?
So what are the exercises you use to facilitate that?
You know, it's fun over time. You find many different ways to do activities with students. And one of the popular activities that a lot of faculty use in creativity is what you would call a bug list, where you look at where something is a problem. You'll go out and you look at your life and you look at your everyday activities and say, I don't like X, so I'm going to find a solution to that problem. What I like to do is to turn that sort of 180 degrees and do what I call a opportunity list or an opportunity report instead of a bug report, and look at where you see opportunity, where something is a gap in terms of where does the handoff of the experience doesn't connect with what you expect. And that's where sometimes novelty can come into play. So one of the things I love to do in the class is to give them a resource that has one particular function and then eliminate that function and say, what else could this do? And so my favorite example, because I come from the world of having created snack foods when I was in corporate life, I love to take the cylinder cans from Pringles. that spiral round cardboard can that has a lid and a metal bottom. And I like to set up the problem this way. Imagine that we have a warehouse with a million of these cans in them, and they cost us 20 cents each. And that's a sunk resource that we have in this warehouse, but we no longer need to have them for chips. What function could they do that has utility and solves a really interesting opportunity for a customer to get benefit from this particular canister? What could you turn it into? And over the years, I've seen hundreds of very novel and interesting ideas for what people could convert that can into. And that's really getting down to what we typically see as an entrepreneurial challenge is I have resources that I need to deploy in order to solve unique customer problems or opportunities. And what form does that take if I were to add other things to that resource? So that's one of my favorite exercises because I'm always amazed at what students will come up with.
Since many students don't have a lot of accessible resources, or at least they may not believe they have resources at their disposal, can that be difficult?
Yeah, that's a mindset challenge always, right? So people love to see the limitations of what they can accomplish. And part of what we want to do in the creative exercise is to get them to realize that limitations often are self-imposed. And so I let them, you know, one of the most important parts about creativity is not trying to give them answers, but to keep asking them questions. And so I tend to help them get past the mindset of I don't have something by trying to get down to the questions of why they see it that way and where can they convert their you know, sort of their ability to be entrepreneurial, to be scrappy, to try to convert an opportunity by looking at a way to be resourceful as opposed to looking at what resources they don't have. So yeah, that does take quite a bit of time in our world of if I only had X, I could be, you know, I could do Y. And part of that is just getting them to explore their own spaces, their resource spaces.
And what are some other barriers that you run into when trying to teach creativity to students?
I think part of the challenge that we have as faculty is we love to put ourselves in the position of the person who gives examples. We want to help be the enlightener or the door opener to someone's aha moment. I'm, on the other hand, am more interested in letting the students have their own aha moment. And here's a prime example. We could come into the classroom and talk about the case study of Uber and Lyft and talk about here's what these startup companies have accomplished. And these amazing gazelle unicorn type startups are awesome to study in its context. But in many ways, it's easier to start with, let's start with a problem. Let's start with an opportunity. Let's start with a set of conditions in either society or how the world operates. Let's talk about that. And then let's see if we can, as a group, as a class, figure out ways to provide an answer and then go down the path from its discovery point of view as opposed to its analysis point of view. I like to separate creativity from analysis because they are very different types of thinking and very different approaches to what you're trying to accomplish. So I'm not a big fan of trying to give examples of great startups. I like to give examples of great challenges that need solutions and let the students engage in it and then bring around and say, well, here's how a couple of startups have actually done this at the end as opposed to starting with it from the beginning.
And do they struggle seeing it that way? Because far too often students are trying to build the next Facebook or Google, even though those companies weren't trying to accomplish that when they first started.
You know, that's the crazy part. As the inventor of a product, I was the inventor of the Baked Lays potato chips. And one of the fascinating parts of that story is it wasn't about what the product is today. You know, most of the products that you work on when they're launched have really very little identity to what they started with at the very beginning. And that's part of, I think, what's fun about teaching corporate entrepreneurship is there's always this notion of let's start with the end in mind. And yes, I like to start with a consumer experience end in mind and say, this is what the customer, one of my favorite exercises is write the Facebook or Yelp review or Facebook post of how someone used your idea or your product to enhance or improve their life. Look into that experience and then start at the very beginning, because all the components of the resources, the features, the benefits, all those pieces that you build into a business, whether it's a product or a service, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, all those resource combinations have a lot of variability. What you really have to focus on is what did it accomplish for a customer? And even that changes. So it's really, I think, important to show that the creative process is very malleable, that it's not finite. And I think a lot of times in education, we want to start with finite questions with finite answers, because it's really much easier to grade and evaluate whether someone's absorbed that information. But in creativity, I like to give things a sense of how much utility, how much purpose did you fulfill with this combination versus a different combination of resources.
Great. And just have two last questions here. And once again, this is Michael Lukies here with Dr. Jeff Stamp. Now, we talked a bit about the Pringles Can Challenge exercise. Does an exercise have to follow certain criteria for you to implement it into the classroom?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because I do like to allow students to struggle with their own sense of when is my project done? And part of all creativity is the failure of not getting what you think the answer is. It's not like if you say, well, what's 1 + 1? And you instantly know the answer is 2, because you understand the combinations of how math works and you understand how addition works. And you've also got a good sense of how to put those quantities together. When you create something, it's really not known whether it's going to solve the challenge or opportunity that you've put out there. So part of it is learning to write and develop a good sense of hypothesis. And they need to go out and test this with customers. And sometimes the answers aren't positive. And so I'm perfectly fine with a student spending 2 or 3 weeks on a project and come back and go, only 10% of the customers I talked to responded favorably to my idea. And my answer is, well, what are you going to do next? Well, they're worried that the deadline is going to be Friday. I go, tell you what you, why don't you propose what it's going to take to adjust this to get the response that you think you're looking for? Give me a sense of how much time it is and let's go for it. And they look at me like, is that allowed? And I'm like, that's how it works, because you can't necessarily land an idea and an opportunity on demand. It needs to be tested. And I think it's very important to allow students to test their ideas and then come back and say, here's how I see it working. And then have the discipline and ownership to deliver on that expectation.
What are the best ways to allow a student to test their ideas while still feeling like they're in a safe environment?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, again, part of the benefit and beauty of going to college is you get a chance to experiment with some things in a safe environment. So we spend a lot of time helping students prototype how to make sure that you make something that, even if it's very rough, and then how to go out and talk to customers. It's very important that early on they get next to stakeholders. But we've also done things where we put things on, you know, prototypes on Etsy, or we put them on Pinterest. And you allow students to, you know, use social media to get feedback on their ideas. And sometimes they get very clever about showing a story of a project they're doing on Instagram and then getting feedback on it. But again, a big part of understanding creativity is that you may, as the creator, believe that this is a wonderful idea. But in the bright light of entrepreneurship, sometimes these ideas don't have the same utility as you think. One of my phrases I always tell the students is, every idea deserves to exist, but not every idea deserves to exist in a marketplace. And that's where the entrepreneurial sort of lens is very important, because until you can get someone to say, I'm willing to transact that with you, it's an imaginative idea. It's not necessarily an entrepreneurial idea. So it's important to let them run into some of those corners. But often creativity is better with more constraints than if you had no constraints, because it gives you a guide to how do you put your product together.
Great, Jeff. Thanks again for your time and for joining us on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
You've reached the end of another episode of USASB's Teaching Tuesday podcast. USASB members can access all our podcast archives and many more resources by logging in at www.usasbe.org. If you're not yet a USASB member, we hope you'll join our rapidly growing global community today. Thanks for listening.